boy, whatever. I don't know what's going on. Domati, thank you so much. Orion wanted
to
jump in.
We got a bonus Orion.
Yeah.
We got a bonus.
Yep. A bonus O.
Bonus O.
Just in
what's
time
wrong
for the
with
weekend.
That? What's wrong with that?
Oh, yeah.
Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. That's the website to visit, TVShowPatrol.com. How are you, Kurt? Nice to see you.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's a beautiful day out.
Yes,
isn't
it
though?
Yeah. Yes, it is. We're curious to hear your take on the Twitter war that is currently going on between Donald Trump and the man who plays Donald Trump on Saturday Night Live. They're bickering.
Yeah, it's a battle of two big egos.
Yeah.
Shut it.
Yeah. What happened? Give us the background.
I just am so sick of the Twitter wars. I mean, why does Donald Trump care?
Exactly.
Most presidents would not have time to address something like this. There's a lot going on in the world, but Donald Trump seems consumed by this, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Donald shot off the first salvo, mm-hmm. I guess, where he called him Alex Baldwin instead of Alec Baldwin.
Oh.
He
has since, ooh, that hurts.
He has since retweeted.
But
I
he
think.
Also called Jeff Sessions Jeff Session. So maybe he's not great with plurals and singulars
he's
with
people's
names.
He's not great with details.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Any details whatsoever. But he said, you know, he talked about him having a mediocre career and said that, you know, he was commenting because Alec Baldwin had said at some point in some interview about how it was kind of agony to play
Donald Trump sure.
in the SNL skits.
Yeah.
And so he was responding to that. He said the real agony was us being forced to watch it.
That's kind of funny.
Which he wasn't forced to watch.
It's funny,
it.
Not accurate. But.
Well, it's kind of funny, but I also question how he finds time to worry about this with
right.
everything else that's going
well,
on.
Well, and also, he wasn't forced to watch it.
No, of course not.
But, you know.
Of course not.
Yes, he was, because he had to he watched
Between
it every week.
Between matters of state and watching SNL to
right.
see how people react
I know,
to him.
I get it.
But Wendy and I had a discussion about a week or so ago about how if you watch late-night television, almost everybody is skewering him. If you turn to Jimmy Kimmel, he's making fun of him. If you go to Stephen Colbert, he is. If you turn on Bill Maher, he is. If you go to Seth Meyers,
yeah.
he is.
Yeah, I mean,
Bill. Everybody is. John Oliver does a half an hour on him every week. So if you're him, do you just say to yourself, "Well, I can't watch TV anymore after 10 o'clock"?
You would think that you don't need to see anymore. But he likes to react himself, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's the sign of a
yeah.
Of a big O ego. Anyway, so then Alec Baldwin could not let it go, and he just did this series of tweets talking about the president.
Can I make a prediction? Saturday Night Live is back this Saturday. They've been off for the Olympics for 3 weeks.
Right,
I
right.
bet Alec Baldwin comes on and as Donald Trump takes some shots at Alec Baldwin.
Maybe. He's filming a
I
movie.
I bet you're right.
He's
you
filming
that?
A movie
yeah.
in New York right now.
I would totally
so he'd
do
be
that.
Around.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, he reacted with saying, "I'm doing this movie with all these great stars. That's not very mediocre. Or he said, if that's mediocre, then sign me up."
Right.
And just all this other stuff.
Right.
And then his last one was, I think, about Melania one has been trying to get tickets to SNL forever, I guess. And he said, "Tell your wife, you know, if you really hate SNL, then maybe she shouldn't try to get tickets or something like that."
That's interesting. Yeah. The Academy Awards are Sunday night.
They are.
We've been discussing them a little bit. Now, the side controversy, aside from the Academy Awards, is that Ryan Seacrest could or could not be in some trouble. There have been some allegations
right.
made against Ryan Seacrest. As of yesterday, E! Was still going to put him on, but in a different version. They were going to pre-tape interviews with celebrities just in case somebody says something negative about Ryan Seacrest.
Well, and there was a possibility that they could might refuse to, when he called him over or whatever, to come, you know, because
the stars may not
a red carpet thing that they might not come over. But,
yeah.
you know, allegations have not been, they're just allegations right now. Nothing's been
yeah,
proven.
But you hear allegations now and that's a guilty
I know,
verdicts
unfortunately.
In our minds.
And it makes it uncomfortable, I think, then because they don't want to have to backtrack. Oh, you made jokes with him on, you know,
right.
you were on air with him or something,
right.
so everybody's afraid.
So did they remove him from the awards show, or
as
that's still up in the air?
Yesterday, he was still going to be
still
doing,
doing
it.
Kelly Ripa was defending him on
yeah.
the air. You heard about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that clip where
she's like, "I can't wait to watch."
And
is
yeah,
that
and
to make
he didn't
sure
really
he
talk about
on?
The allegations. He just said thanks, and you know,
he didn't want to discuss it.
Yeah, I mean, he was just
it's probably his best move
yeah.
at this
yeah,
point.
Totally,
right?
Totally.
Yeah,
agreed.
So, do you think, Kurt, that anybody whose name has come up in the circles of mistreating women, will any of those names be in attendance for the Academy Awards? James Franco has a movie that was kind of a front and center movie for a while until the allegations about him. Will he be there, do you think, or is it too?
Well, he did go to the Golden Globes.
With mixed response from the audience when they called out his name as a nominee.
Right. I don't think he did. He didn't end up getting nominated for
this. He was not nominated for this. No.
And that's probably part of the reason why. But I'm not sure. I don't know if he'll be there or not.
Hmm.
How much
time do you think they'll spend? Will they address it at all, the Me Too movement? It's got to get some mention at some point, right? It's too big of a story to ignore.
Jimmy Kimmel's the host, sure. Yeah. I'm sure he's come up with lots of things.
We have a bet. I said he's going to cry.
That Jimmy Kimmel will cry during the awards.
He just was on Ellen and cried because they donated a room to his son in the hospital.
Oh,
she got all this money together. It's really super sweet.
That's right. Very nice.
And he, of course, cried. And he's just, he cries a lot, and something may come up. I'll bet you he cries. I'll bet you 50 cents.
I'm sure it's his mission not to make it a maudlin affair. So.
Right.
Well, no, but I just, something will touch him or something.
But, you know, he, on a nightly basis, is able to mix the good news and the bad news and make the show funny.
Yep.
And Seth Meyers pulled it off beautifully when he hosted an award show a month ago. So it can certainly be done. It's a very, very difficult subject. Certainly, you can't make jokes about it. But, you know.
Well, I think he will.
Yeah. All right.
Won't make jokes about
it. Are you on Wendy's side? Will he cry at any point?
I don't think he'll cry.
No.
I'm going with cry.
All right. We'll see.
Will he giggle?
Yes.
He'll giggle. Yeah.
Will there be any moments that scare him where he screams?
I don't know.
No screaming.
Interesting.
I want a full range of emotions.
It sounds like
host.
A psychiatric test. Are you scared? Are you sad? Are you happy?
They'll show him a series of photographs and we'll see how he reacts. That'll be a fun test. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. If you have any questions for Kurt or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Cries, TVShowPatrol.com.
People are going to start snapping their fingers, Wendy, if you talk in that tone. You know that. Kurt Wagner is here.
I have to wear my beanie next time.
Yes, please. Wear a beret. Kurt Wagner's here from TVShowPatrol.com. We're talking about the world of television. Kurt, on PBS, I think tonight, is a documentary about Harvey Weinstein. They put this thing together fairly quickly, didn't they?
Yeah, it was the BBC and BBC. It's a Frontline thing. So it was BBC and PBS. And it doesn't really break new ground in the investigation or anything. But what's cool about it is it talks to some of the lesser known victims or alleged victims of his. And it's interesting to see these women talk. You know, it sort of makes it more impactful to actually get to see them speak on their own without, you know, the layer of the news, the media or anything like that in between, and to see how angry they still are. And the first case that it brings up was in 1980. So that also just made me go, wow,
it's been going on that
long time for this to be happening.
Yeah.
And so that made it, that sort of made it more impactful to me.
Was
and more
his move similar or the same with most of these women?
It was kind of a lot of them similar.
Really?
The whole, you got to meet him in his hotel room to have your meeting with him. And
because remember when all the women came out against Bill Cosby, the one thing everybody said was, wow, he kind of kept doing almost the exact same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
I wondered if
Harvey and I think a lot of his were that way too. But he really is just the evil. Yeah. I mean, just some of the things, like, I don't know if you read, Salma Hayek wrote a great op-ed story for the New York Times last fall, I think, and she never ended up being forced to do anything with him, but he tried, and oh boy, did he try, and she went through every instance of that when he did it, and the mind games he played, and all the she did every single thing, wrote every single thing that he did, that he made her do when she was making that the movie about the Mexican artist. A lot of her stuff's at the Art Institute, and I can't think of her name. But that was like her passion project forever and ever. She wanted to do that, and he threatened to just dump the
movie.
Is
it Hidalgo? Is that what it is?
No,
or am I thinking of a different movie?
That's something else.
I'm thinking of a different movie.
But he threatened to just dump the movie. He said she had to put a sex scene in when, you know, like, because she wouldn't actually have sex with him.
So he was like,
you have to, because he was producing the movie and he had the power to dump the movie, to just end it. And so she talks about the mind games of it.
Here's what's strange about, well, there's so much strange about him and this, what he did or was alleged to have done. But it seemed like, for those of us who would see him only at award shows, because if we're not in the movie business, that's when you're going to see Harvey Weinstein is showing up at award shows and collecting his trophies. He seemed like a very gregarious guy who most of Hollywood loved. Like, they would, whoever was the host would throw a joke about him at some point. They'd cut to other audience members who'd be laughing and applauding and stuff. So I think our perception of him was, he's everybody's favorite uncle. He's their fun uncle, but he wasn't. He was the exact opposite.
Frida.
That's it. Thank you, Wendy. Yes.
Yeah. He was a powerful man who abused his power.
Yeah.
You know, and all those grabbing grins with actresses, you know, now you look back and you go, huh. You know,
and was who broke this? Was it Ronan Farrow that pretty much brought this forward?
He sort of, I think he got that whole
ball rolling.
And it had been out in like a dirty little secret.
Rose McGowan was really pushing to get news out, it took, it seemed like no one was really believing her, giving credence to anything she said until Ronan Farrow wrote about it.
Yeah. And their company, Weinstein Productions, was one of the most prolific and profitable in all of Hollywood, and they just filed for bankruptcy the other day.
Yeah, and I think they just I think somebody just made a deal to buy all their...
their properties.
Their, yeah.
Yeah. This is a new thing we want to try with you, and it was your idea. I love this. This is your recommendation of the week. What is your first recommendation of the week?
Hulu has the show called The Looming Tower, which is a historical drama, and I love historical dramas, but I always think of them as, you know, 1800s, 1700s, period pieces like that. But this was 1990s, and it's the war between the CIA and the FBI leading up to 9/11.
Yeah.
And how their turf war sort of didn't necessarily cause 9/11, but allowed it to happen more easily, I guess, you know. And it's just fascinating. It's based on the court, the Senate testimony, and all that kind of stuff. Which I was in news then, right? I was working at the Tribune then, and I remember reading that stuff and sort of it not dawning completely. I mean, it dawned on me that their turf war was a bad thing, but the show doing this in this dramatic frame really makes it hit home, you know, and you're really like,
oh. And is it factual? I mean,
yeah, it is. It's totally it's based on the Senate testimony. It's based on a book. I can't remember whose book it is, but it's somebody, one of the characters in the thing and in the show, and it's just fascinating. Dan Futterman wrote it. And he is an actor. He's been an actor in things, but he's also a writer and producer. And it's just, it's, and it, I think the book it's based on was a Pulitzer Prize winning.
And who's in it? There's a couple of big names in it, right?
Yeah, Jeff Daniels. Jeff Daniels plays,
I love him,
this FBI guy who was like the squeaky wheel, I guess. He would just go and storm into the CIA offices or the Defense Department's offices or whatever and try to get things done. And I think he ended up getting, after it all happened, he ended up getting fired, or he quit because he wasn't being heard.
Oh.
And I think he was in working as security at one of the towers when it ended up.
Oh, no.
When that ended up happening, because this is sort of way early.
Yeah,
you know, it sort of starts with the bombing of a couple embassies. One, I think, in Kenya. And one somewhere else. So it's like early 90s.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's just fascinating. And you know, it has all these players who, when you figure out, you know, who they are, they're like, you know, people who were in the administration back then, the Bush administration back then. And it's just the most amazing show. It's really
called
good.
The Looming Tower, and it's on Hulu.
Hulu, and they've dropped the first three episodes this week.
Oh, okay. It's a limited edition, a limited series, they're calling it, right?
Yeah.
There's six or eight episodes, I think, right?
I think might be 10.
Oh, 10? Is there? Yeah.
Maybe.
And Wendy, you have a new show that you love.
I have two, actually, but I'll just do one this week, one next week. L.A. to Vegas. I was turned on to that by my boys. It's really super funny. It's like The Office meets Superstore all on a plane. Mm-hmm. You've got a great joke cast of Dylan McDermott and Dermot Mulroney, who people have been confusing for years, and their competitive pilots. It's really funny. The acting is good, and you said there's a local girl.
Yeah, there's somebody who went to Northwestern. Olivia Macklin is her name. She's a Northwestern grad, and she plays the hooker with the heart of gold in this.
I would say stripper. There's a difference. Oh. Well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah, there's, but yeah. Okay. Stripper with a heart of gold. You're right.
She goes to, this is all involved about a flight going to Vegas on Friday night from LA and comes home on Sunday.
And I talked to her because, you know, I said, it's sort of like when you ride the same train in Chicago to work or the same bus.
Right. Yeah.
You end up, you know, same time every day, 5 days a week, you end up seeing the same people. And that's what this is. But their commute is from LA to Vegas because this flight is really short.
Yeah.
And they go there and she goes there. And back home in LA, she's a student.
Yeah.
She's an entrepreneur. She's all this other stuff. And in Vegas, she's a stripper. But
with a heart of gold.
With a heart of gold. But she strips. I mean, she recruits strippers on the plane. Yeah. She tries to get...
If you mention my name, I'll get a bonus.
Oh, that's excellent.
Funny. It has all these really funny things. And Dylan McDermott... Dermot Mulroney is just guest starring a lot. But Dylan
McDermott is hysterical. I didn't recall him ever really being that funny.
And I don't,
so funny.
Yeah, and he hasn't gotten to do a lot of comedy, but he's great because he's just, his character is just obnoxiously egotistic.
Yes.
And just, it's like he should be flying, but he's not. You know,
and it's
like,
called what, Wendy?
It's called LA to Vegas.
And it's on Fox. On Fox. Yeah. All right.
Really funny.
It's really hilarious. And it's a workplace comedy, but it's just a weird workplace.
Yeah,
I've laughed out loud, which is
really?
It's
a lot.
Really funny. Yeah. Like cackling at one point.
Oh.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
I like that. Kurt, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Kurt Wagner's website again is tvshowpatrol.com. It's a good one. We'll take a quick break, then some news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.